Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of Philippians, Bondservants of Jesus Christ. In this session, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23, the key to contentment. Let's look at the first few verses there in that passage, beginning at verse 10 of Philippians 4. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. What is the key to contentment? Well, the Apostle Paul speaks much on this subject. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Verse 11. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. But we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. But, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Lack of contentment is self-destructive. The issue dealt with here is trust. Trust in the Lord. And there's three prerequisites for gaining contentment. First, you need an awareness of God's grace. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. You will never have contentment trusting in your own ability to meet the needs of life. So you need an awareness of God's grace. Second, you need an acceptance of God's plan. Look at verses 11 and 12. Not that I speak in regard to need, but I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. About patience. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. What is God trying to develop in character? Again, trust in Him. Remember Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You will never be content while resisting the Lord's work of shaping your character. And then third, you need an appreciation of God's minister. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Gratefulness. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, no one owes you anything in life. The focus in Scripture is on giving. But we live with a list of expectations. Notice verse 14. We all have needs periodically. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Let the ones who minister to you know that you're grateful for their sacrifice. A lack of gratefulness produces bitterness. You will never have contentment thinking that others owe you something. He who expects nothing is never disappointed, is one of the statements I like to make. He who expects nothing is never disappointed. Thinking other people owe you something, you'll never be content. Look at verses 15 down to verse 20. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Unmet financial needs are a common ministry problem. Believers take advantage of what the ministry offers, but many don't take responsibility for the ministry. Look at again at verses 15 and 16. What an indictment, and what a commendation as well. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you send aid once and again for my necessities. Listen, be glad you weren't living when the apostle wrote his letters. Just think of the scene. Paul was working hard to spread the gospel. No church supported his ministry except one. Even the Thessalonians didn't help, and he was with them. Only the church at Philippi supported the work. And it was unique, immediate, and consistent support. The Holy Spirit had this written for all Christians to see. Even us today. Imagine if your giving record was reported publicly. The quantity and quality of our giving has a direct effect on our commitment to Jesus Christ and the church. Sacrificial giving reveals genuine trust. Look at what Jesus in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. And then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Listen, some Christians will give when they have a surplus. Few Christians will give when it requires sacrifice. Someone wrote, "The greatest thing the federal government could do for the church is to stop printing $1 bills." Let me share with you three facts about sacrificial giving from this passage. God records all your sacrifices. Verse 17. "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Christians should periodically review their portfolio. What does your blessings account look like? Second, God evaluates all of your sacrifices. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound, and I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Christians should check carefully the aroma of their giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and forward. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. And third, God compensates for all our sacrifices. Verse 19. And all my God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The apostle is addressing those who supported the Lord's work of spreading the gospel. God meets the needs of those who give to him. In the context of ministering, being ministered to occurs. Are your needs being met? Are you giving sacrificially? In verse 20, Paul comes to the place where he can no longer contain himself in praise. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes you get to that place where all you can do is just praise God. And that's a good thing. Now look at those last couple of verses here. Verses 21 to 23. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Why focus on this greeting? Well, the significance of its contents, the gospel's power. Three groups are mentioned here. Three groups of Christians are mentioned. The close ministry team, who supported and served. The saints in general, the body of believers in Rome. And then the believers in Caesar's household. That's very critical. It speaks to the awesome power of the gospel message. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, the salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The very one who imprisoned the apostle for spreading the gospel now has Christians in his very own household. A.T. Robinson declared, an obscure prisoner who planted the gospel in Caesar's household has won more eternal fame than all the Caesars combined. What a great letter. The letter to the Philippians by the Apostle Paul. You have a great day.